Good day, friends. We again come to you, and we're so happy to come with the Word of God. And we are praying continually that the Spirit of God will take the Word and make it very simple, very clear, and yet come to your own heart and life with power, that transforming power that can only come from Him. How wonderful to know that the Lord has not left us to our own devisings, to our own ingenuity, but He has given to us the Word of God and the Spirit of God, so we may know the things of God. We're in the 16th chapter of the book of Acts, and we're dealing with Paul's second missionary journey. And you remember at the end of chapter 15, instead of Paul having Barnabas with him, Silas took his place, and Barnabas took John Mark, his nephew, and they went out to Cyprus. And then the first part of chapter 16, the first five verses, we have where Timothy came along into the party. And Timothy was a young man who had been greatly blessed of God because his mother and grandmother had saturated his life with the Word of God. And he didn't speak any further to that point except to point out again, plead with you mothers to be sure and give your children the Word of God. As Paul could write concerning Timothy, that from a child he had known the Holy Scriptures, which were able to make him wise unto salvation through faith in Christ Jesus. And then from verse 6 down to verse 12, we have where the Apostle Paul has quite a time. He wants to go one place, and the Spirit of God stopped him going here and stopped him going there. What shall he do? And we come now to the question of knowing the will of God. I'm sure this is a question that has been raised a great many times with God's people. Let me read the verses again. When he'd gone throughout Phrygia and the region of Galatia, they were forbidden of the Holy Spirit to preach the word in Asia. That is, they would have been going eastward instead of westward. When they came to Mysia, they tried to go to Bithynia. That is, they tried to go north. And they were stopped by the Spirit of God again. And they, passing by Mysia, came down to Troas. Now, Troas is a town on the sea. And a vision appeared to Paul in the night. There stood a man of Macedonia, prayed him, saying, come over into Macedonia and help us. And after he had seen the vision, immediately we endeavored to go into Macedonia, assuredly gathering that the Lord had called us to preach the gospel unto them. Therefore, loosing from Troas, we came with a straight course to Samothracia, and the next day to Neapolis, and from there to Philippi, which was the chief city of that part of Macedonia and a colony. And we were there in that city abiding certain days. Now, first of all, knowing the will of God. They were forbidden to preach the gospel in Asia. What a test! Now, they were always giving out the Word of God. You couldn't keep Paul and Silas from ministering the Word of God wherever they went. And the Spirit of God stopped them. How? I don't know. He could have stopped them by putting something in the way. It could have been a physical infirmity where they couldn't go any further. I don't know what it is. But they were always wanting to give out the Word of God. So they tried to go north, and the Spirit of God hindered them. It doesn't say how he did it. Then what shall I do? How can I know the will of God? Well, Paul here just kept on going. If he was hindered one way, he just went the other way. As long as there was a door open, he ministered the Word of God. And when God put a block there, he just put on a different course. So I would say, keep on doing what you're doing for God until God stops you. Or He changes your course. Sometimes God guides by hindrances. Even though there's no definite method or revelation made, I think if you really want the will of God, God will show it to you. Just keep on doing what you do until God stops you, or God makes a change, or by circumstances. See, He guides in different ways, by trials, by sickness, by circumstances, and so on. The important thing is, do I really want the will of God? And if I really want the will of God, I am sure that God will put me in His will. We're very frail, all of us. We know so little. Can't we trust the Lord to put us where He wants us? Not where I want to go, but where He wants to go. The important thing is that the Spirit of God will guide the heart that really, really wants His way. And is God's way. If I might give you an illustration of Jacob. Here, Jacob went down to sojourn in Padan Aram. I'm speaking from the book of Genesis. He wanted to go down to Padan Aram just to sojourn till his brother Esau got over his madness, his anger. He only planned to be there a little while. But first thing you know, he's there 20 years. In the meantime, he gets Leah, and he gets Rachel, and he gets a family. Now, what's he going to do? There were three things that came into Jacob's life where it was revealed he had to go back. He had to go back home. First of all, the Word of God. The Word of God said, go back home. Circumstances said, you better get going while the getting's good. He saw that Laban, his father-in-law, and his brothers-in-law were jealous of him, envious of him, and they were going against him. He saw that they didn't want Jacob around. In other words, you better get out, Jacob, while the getting's good. And then there was a great yearning in his heart to see his mother. Here is an inward yearning to see his mother. So you've got three things. You've got circumstances, you have the Word of God, and you have an inward peace. Now sometimes you say, what shall I do? Here is a great important thing before me. What shall I do? I want the will of God. What is the will of God for me? Circumstances may say, it's time to move. There's nothing in the Word of God that would hinder you from going. But every time you get down before God, you don't have peace. I suggest you stay until you have peace. I'm just giving this as a principle of operation. There have been times in my own ministry where circumstances said, brother, get out while the getting's good. There was nothing in the Word of God. In fact, there was an encouragement. Circumstances said, not only should you get out, but here's a wide open door for you. But every time one got down before the Lord, talk about it, Lord, I want your will to stay or to go. There was no peace about going. And I'm still here after 45 years, still here, and still believe I'm in the will of God. Because circumstances are hard doesn't mean you're out of the will of God. When Paul and Silas in this chapter are in jail, with their backs bleeding, and they sang the praises of God, were they out of the will of God in jail? No. Your circumstances might be pretty tough. That doesn't mean you've got to move. If you really want the will of God, the Lord will make it known to you. So all I ask, as I say to our young people, it isn't a question, will I go here, will I go there? The question is, will I go anywhere? Will I stay? Sometimes it's easier to go than it is to stay. But do I have peace about it? And so I would suggest these three things. Circumstances, the Word of God, and an inward peace. Now, you notice in verse 9, there came a voice, there came in the middle of the night, came a vision, a man of Macedonia. Come over and help us. And when he had seen the vision, immediately we endeavored to go to Macedonia. Once the will of God was known, it's time to move. See? It's time to move. Instead of going eastward to the millions of east, the Lord in His wisdom sent them west to Europe. And immediately, when we have God's mind, we move. And you know something else? Everything else cooperated. We came with a straight course to Samothracia. That meant they had the wind behind them. It went right clean. Everything cooperated. A straight course. And they went next day to Neapolis, and from thence to Philippi. which was the chief city of that part of Macedonia, and it was a colony. That means that Philippi was a Roman colony. And Paul was entering into the circle of the heart of the Empire of Rome. It was a colony. It was ruled from Rome. See. And what do you think he did? Well, you say he went to the synagogue. No, there wasn't any synagogue. There wasn't any synagogue. If there'd been a synagogue, he would have gone to the synagogue. Now, it takes 12 men, 12 Jewish men, to make a synagogue, to start a synagogue. And apparently, in Philippi, there must have been a very small Jewish colony. There weren't 12 men to start a synagogue. So what happened? Well, there was a prayer meeting down there in verse 13. On the Sabbath, we went out of the city by the riverside, where prayer was wont to be made, and we sat down and spake unto the women which resorted thither. I'm reminded of the psalmist, you remember, talking about the remnant in Babylon. We sat down by the riverside and we wept. We hung our harps on the willow tree. Where did they meet? By the river. No synagogues in Babylon, so they went down by the riverside. When Ezekiel prophesied to the remnant in Babylon, he went down by the riverside. That's where they gathered. That's where the believing remnant would go to worship God. We hung our harps on the willow tree, and the Babylonians said, "Sing us a song of Zion." They said, "How can we sing a song of Zion in a strange land?" So now he comes to Philippi. No synagogue. But he hunted up the prayer meeting down by the riverside. By the way, when you go to another city, what do you hunt up? The shore? Or do you hunt up a prayer meeting? And you notice this? There were no men in the prayer meeting. Wouldn't that be a discouraging thing? Not to the Apostle Paul. Here were some godly women meeting for prayer. Not a man present, as far as I know. Boy, it must be hard for some men when they have a prayer meeting and only women show up. God bless the women who know how to pray. And if the truth were only known, if it were not for praying women, I don't know where we would be. If I were teaching 1 Timothy chapter 2, I'd go after the men. Men ought always to pray and not to faint. The challenge is to men. It's a man's job. Intercessory prayer is a man's job. Men ought always to pray and not to faint. Lift up holy hands without doubting. I'm quoting 2nd chapter of 1 Timothy. And you are women. Prayer meeting. So, not having enough men to start a synagogue, the women started a prayer meeting. And they opened the door to Europe, to the heart of the Roman Empire, was it a prayer meeting. No wonder the rest of the chapter is full of satanic opposition. A prayer meeting. And wherever there's a bunch of praying women or praying men or praying God's people, you're going to have opposition. When you stop praying, there'll be no opposition. You mark my words, my friend. When God's people begin to pray, then all hell breaks loose. Verse 14, and a certain woman named Lydia was there. She was a seller of purple. She was a businesswoman, saleswoman, of the city of Thyatira. And by the way, that's where you got the dyes where it came out of Thyatira, which she worshipped God and she heard us. And she had come down from Thyatira down to Philippi to sell her goods. And where do you think she found her? At a prayer meeting. A successful businesswoman, away from home, selling her dyes, and she was found at the prayer meeting. Boy, what a lesson for you and me. It just seems we can find all the excuses imaginable not to go to prayer meeting. We're all guilty, aren't we? I am. You are. Now notice it. She worshipped God and she heard us, whose heart the Lord opened. She attended unto the things which were spoken of Paul. And when she was baptized in her household, she besought us, saying, "If you have judged me to be faithful to the Lord, come into my house and abide there." And she constrained us. Now here's a successful woman, a successful businesswoman. And she must have had enough business in in Philippi, that she even had her own house there, although she was from Thyatira. Praying woman, a successful woman, yet had time for the prayer meeting. She was a worshiper. And I want to tell you, my friend, Paul was not discouraged because there were only a few women present in the meeting. But he has a prepared heart and a prepared messenger. I said a while ago, God will always meet open hearts. God is righteous as well as merciful. And wherever God finds open hearts, he's going to reach that open heart. And here's Lydia, with a heart hungry for God. And the Lord opened that heart, and she heard the word of God and was saved and baptized, she and her whole household. And then she manifested hospitality. By the way, what would have happened if Lydia had missed the prayer meeting that day? Huh? Well, she would have missed meeting the Apostle Paul. She would have missed hearing the word of God. And the church at Philippi, I want to put this in here, the church at Philippi was the church that stood behind Paul when he was in Rome in jail. It was the Philippian church, out of the abundance of their poverty, sent once and again to Paul in Rome to take care of his material needs. That's why Paul said in Philippians 4, it's going to abound to their account in the glory. Their giving was unto the Lord. But what I want to get out here is, what if Lydia had missed the prayer meeting? I say again, he has a prepared heart, and God's going to meet that heart. And she gave heed to the word of God. She believed, and she became a great testimony for God in Philippi. And by the way, may I suggest something in this same connection? The very next picture, you've got another woman. But before I take it up, may I urge upon you, my friend, to be a woman, to be a man of prayer. Who knows what God will do for you? Every time you and I miss the meeting of God's people, we always miss something. We always miss something. Do you remember in chapter 13, they ministered unto the Lord? Ah, there it is. The Lord was the center of their worship, the center of their affection, the center of their devotion. And the Lord met them in their need. Now, quickly, it came to pass as we went to prayer one day, a certain damsel possessed with a spirit of divination met us, which brought her masters much gain by soothsaying. And the same followed Paul and us and cried, saying, and by the way, Luke must have come in on the job by now, because he changes and he says, the same followed Paul and us. So Luke must have been with Paul and Silas and Timothy. And she cried, saying, these men are the servants of the Most High God, which show unto us the way of salvation. And this she did many days. But Paul, being grave, turned and said to the Spirit, I command you in the name of Jesus Christ to come out of her. And he came out the same hour. Amazing thing here about this girl. Here you have satanic opposition to the gospel. Again, notice two women in the chapter, a successful businesswoman, a demon-possessed girl. Let me ask a question. How did she know that Paul was a servant of the Most High God? May I tell you, my friends, demons know Jesus, and Jesus know the followers of Jesus. You'll notice in the Gospel through Luke chapter 4, verse 41, and Luke chapter 8, verse 28, the demons knew Jesus. I know who you are. One of them says, you're Jesus, the Son of God. Another one says, I know who you are. You're Jesus, the Son of Elyon. What does that mean? The Son of the Most High God. There's no question in hell who Jesus is. And of course, there's no question in heaven who Jesus is. Where do you think the question is? No question in hell who Jesus is. No question in heaven who Jesus is. Sad picture. The only place in the universe that I know of where there's any question mark concerning the person of Jesus is in the human race. And maybe I'm talking to some today on this program. You never put your trust in a Savior. You see, Jesus is just a man. My friend, there's no question in hell who Jesus is. He's the son of El Elyon. No question in heaven. The angel said, unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, who is Christ the Lord.